too cold to start a fire. I'm burning diesel, burning dinosaur bones.
Rusty Cage, Johnny Cash. Whether you're a country or western fan or not, Johnny Cash certainly was the man in that regard. And you believe it or not, his daughter, Roseanne Cash, is a woman who is a fighter against racism throughout the South. We don't know that much about his family, but we wanted to put that out there for you all to know. We are now joined by Maryland State Senator Verna Jones Rodwell, who represents the District 44, Baltimore City. She's a Democrat. City Councilman Nick Mosby, Baltimore City Councilman, District 7, of course, a Democrat. There are no Republicans on the City Council. And Jacqueline Rebarge is in the studio, founder and director of Power Inside, a project of fusion partnerships. Good to have the three of you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
So, this is a huge issue, obviously, facing especially our community here in Baltimore and many communities around the state. But let me go first to you, Senator Jones, and talk a bit about the legislation you're working on and what it would mean.
Well, specifically this morning, I wanted to talk about a reentry symposium that will be held in Annapolis next Monday at the Miller Office Building from 8:30 to 3. And the reason that the symposium has been put in place, it's a statewide, and it's to bring together the practitioners that are involved in providing services as well as individuals that need service, and the State Department of Corrections to look at the implementation of state initiatives, look at where the gaps are, and look at the resources that are needed, and begin formulating a strategy to address that. In addition, we will have the presentation of legislators that are sponsoring different pieces of legislation. A few are on expungement of records of individuals that have completed all of their requirements after their incarceration, such as parole and probation, as well as a shielding bill, which is to shield certain information from certain entities in the public, which after a person has completed all of their post-incarceration requirements.
And before I turn to our councilman, Nick Mosby, to talk about the work he's doing about bending the box, Jackie, I mean, you work with people every day who
yes.
have served time in prison, especially women. Talk a bit about, I want you to give both a sense of a visceral and analytical sense of what we're talking about here that goes beneath legislation like this.
The most of our work is here in Baltimore City, and where the vast majority of the releases from prison and jail occur. And I mentioned jail really specifically because there are tens of thousands of releases that happen from our pretrial facilities, and particularly the Baltimore City Detention Center. And so as we talk about reentry, I don't want to overlook the cycling from jail back out into the community because it's very significant. The need upon reentry starts really actually from where they left off when they were arrested. But there are many, many people that are leaving homeless and coming out of jail, particularly at night. And so, you know, when we have a day of release that looks like you have no medications, you may not have a coat on, you may not have a place to sleep, it's hard to imagine that person getting off on the right track, let alone trying to get their ID, look for a job, and find maybe support systems like mental health or substance abuse treatment. So there's this first tier of needs that happen the day the person steps out the door. And I think those are often overlooked. Then when we're moving forward, we really are looking at the more sustaining supports like a job, like mental health treatment, and substance abuse treatment, and particularly housing, affordable housing. And so we are seeing people get out at 4 a.m. with absolutely nothing but a plastic bag, nowhere to go, nothing to do, no family to return to. The other thing that I would mention is there are a lot of great programs. I think we're a great program doing a lot of work. But the families and the communities are really doing the bulk of the reentry work because many people return to their families. And there isn't a lot of support for families of the incarcerated and formerly incarcerated.
Right. Even with where we are now in 2014, I mean, there's still this sense of the people who have done time in our prison system as the other, not to be that concerned about. They've committed this crime, so why should we care, Nick Mosby?
Yes. Thanks for having me today, Mark. As you know, we have some legislation now in the City Council that I propose that basically it's called Ban the Box. It's a movement that's been going nationally. The difference here in Baltimore is if passed, this will be the most progressive Ban the Box legislation in the entire country for a major city. It basically tells employers that they are not able during the interview process to to have questions such as, do you have a past conviction? A lot of times what employers have done in the past is leverage that during their vetting process to just basically throw those applications away. And it gives applicants the opportunity to compete and fight for a job right away. But as we continue to talk about, legislation like that, I think that that's a variable inside a very complex equation of recidivism. But I think we have to also focus on the systemic issue that even puts us into the position of needing legislation around reentry and Ban the Box. And that's just specifically when you're talking about nonviolent felony offenses and things of that nature. I mean, it's created this class of folks that have been collaterally damaged, unfortunately, by some for the rest of their lives. And we really need to develop ways of taking that away. And, if folks have the ability of serving their time and giving back, they should be able to just come back into society and assimilate with everyone else.
So, and I'm going to come back to that last point you made, because the question of how people reenter, and I'm going to go to the phones here as well, reenter society is a huge one, because all the programs that exist, most of the programs that existed inside our prisons in the 70s and 80s no longer are there, that work with people who are incarcerated to help get them ready to come back outside and be productive citizens. And then we throw people out and expect them to have changed overnight after years of incarceration, sometimes years of being isolated from other prisoners in cells 23 hours out of a day. So Verna, how does the legislation you all are working on in Annapolis address any of that?
Yeah. Well, there are a couple of things. The legislation is one side of it, but then you have to look at the operations. And I think that the legislation, the Ban the Box, the enabling legislation that the legislature put forth several years ago to allow that to happen, I mean, that took a long time to get through the process of the legislative session and all of that. But at the same time, you have individuals, as was stated, that are being released from prison without having been prepared. I believe, and I think that the policies that we are looking at are really trying to make sure that individuals are given reentry process starts to meet the moment a person comes into the correctional system. Because it is not just about giving a person certain resources to walk out the door with, but you also have to have the mental health assistance, the cognitive restructuring, helping people to think differently. That's a long process, and that shouldn't just be started like 3 months before a person gets out of the prison system. And the work behind the wall is so important, because it is preparing the individual as well as his family or the community that he comes out in. Letting someone out in prison at 4 o'clock in the morning is ridiculous. So we have to look at the policies that really, help or not don't help a person to just even enter the community after they've been incarcerated. And the bills that we have will look at, we have one, Kurt Anderson has a bill as far as those that are having a less than 10 grams of marijuana to be given a citation rather than to be incarcerated. That's one strategy as far as making sure that individuals aren't going into the system. But as I said, it's legislative and operational that we have to look at as far as reentry issue.
I'm thinking, as I open the phones here, then I come back with a thought, because I was thinking about this in reference to the death of Chakwe Lumumba, a mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, and thinking about some of the things he was talking about. I'm going to come back to that. I'm reflecting a lot on these things since he since he passed away yesterday. 410-319-8888. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah, so how you doing?
Very well.
You know, I understand that some people make mistakes and you should be given a chance to redeem yourself. I understand that, and I'll even be honest, I've been arrested twice, and both times the charges have been dropped. It's because the police officers weren't paying attention to what was really going on. So, but the other thing is, you have to think about some of the business owners and the people that run a business, that sometimes, and I don't run a business, or even members in our community, if someone has had a violent past or doesn't get along, has social problems getting along with people, or they've been involved in theft or did a lot of dishonest things as a business owner, or even maybe as a community, as just somebody who's another member of the community, I would want to know that before I would hire them or before I want to rent them a house. And it doesn't mean I'm discriminating against them. It just means I want to be aware of that. A lot of times we've all made mistakes. We've all made errors in judgment. But sometimes, you know, you also have to understand if this person's made this mistake before, are they going to make it again? And some people can redeem themselves. Sometimes, Mark, you really don't look at things from a practical, pragmatic situation because I hate to say it, but, you know, you're so biased in some of your...
Let me just do what Bruce is saying, though. I think it's an argument that I've raised here on the show before, Bruce. I mean, that people who are business owners, I mean, don't they have a right to know who they're hiring? I mean, you know, that if somebody has been convicted of theft, you have been working in a store, that they've been arrested for a violent crime of assaulting people but have been out, not knowing that they've been rehabbed.
Absolutely.
I mean, how does Ban the Box address that for employers?
So from a Ban the Box perspective, employers still have the right to do background checks. I mean, the purpose of the bill is to, during the interview process, ensure that folks are being objectively compared to one another as it relates to the skill set, their experiences, and what they bring to the table in fighting for that job. So an employer still has the ability, once a conditional offer is rendered, to go and do their HR process of going and doing their background checks and knowing exactly what's in a person's background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I can, the shielding bill that is being proposed also provides opportunity for the employer to do the background check. It's just that, and these are not violent offenses that a person has committed. If a person has committed a violent offense, then they would not be eligible for shielding.
And our members, there are folks that, you know, that both the shielding and the Ban the Box would specifically impact. So I'm thinking of a woman who was charged with armed robbery and when she was 17. She's now 31 looking for a job. And that charge, she is a completely different person and has made a lot of strides to change her life. But, I mean, I have to admit, if I saw something like armed robbery immediately on an initial application, it would be hard for someone not to form a judgment given that information alone without understanding what the person, what their experience is, who they are, what they've done to change their life. And so that's really important for the Ban the Box. And for the shielding, we have folks with 10 and 15 misdemeanor charges of prostitution and drug possession. And they, again, employers aren't always going to be able to interpret a rap sheet that's 20 pages long and understand that these are very minor charges related to someone's vulnerabilities and their addiction or homelessness.
So let me go back to the phones here. 410-319-8888. Michael, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ma.
Good morning, Michael.
This is my given name is Claude Simon, for a.k.a. Mike Perry. I've been on the show a couple of times.
Yes.
I've been to a friend of people and before she rose, but my predicament was a little different, Ma. I guess I came home in 2012. I hadn't been 62 yet, but now I'm 63 years old with a disability verified, and I'm homeless. A condition that public housing hadn't seen ready to address. You know, I've written them numerous letters, no responses. Catholic Charities has been kind of responsive, but my predicament was a little different. Like, I came home homeless, so I didn't really have a home plan. So I had to utilize a transition house as a home plan, which I did, which meant that I left prison with the $50 that they give you, had to catch a cab to downtown, which cost $40. So that was 40 minus the 50 that I had. So I had $10, my blue jeans, my jail boots, and headed to a transition house that I had no idea where it was even at, because I'm from Washington, D.C., which is not to say that I'm crying a whoop to any extent, but you have a lot of brothers getting ready to come home, lifers and whatnot, that are going to be presented with the same predicament, presently being homeless, having to hit the ground running with no place to stay. These men need homes, substantial houses, that they don't have to pay for initially. It should be some type of subsidized housing for at least 60 days, so at least they can get their feet on the ground and get a job or some type of viable employment. You know, Ma?
Michael, you said some very critical things. Let me ask you to do this one thing. I'm going to ask you not to hang up. I'm going to ask my producer to pick up the phone when we go to break so we can reconnect with you and get you to help us talk this thing through with our listeners some more. So hold on. Don't hang up. Mark Unry, my producer, can make sure we can contact you after the show and make sure we get your voice back on here to kind of talk about your experiences as we look at this with the people's eyes, which I think is much stronger in some ways, to your conversation from you as well as some business owners about how they want to change this. We're going to take a very brief break and come back. And Iris in Waverly has a response to something she heard Bruce say. I won't let her have her say. So we're going to continue this conversation just a few minutes after the bottom of this hour. Senator, can you stay or you have to run?
Yes, I do have to run.
Okay.
If I can stay on for another maybe 15 minutes.
It won't be that long. So we're going to take a very brief break and come right back for another few minutes. Stay with us. Happy birthday, Erykah Badu, the healer, and that's what we need more of, the healing. We're going to stay here for a few more minutes as we talk about part of the process of healing is what to do with people coming back from being incarcerated into our communities. Senator Verna Jones is with us, who is we'll talk about what she's doing in a moment, who is pushing legislation to deal with reentry. We're talking with City Councilman Nick Mosby in Baltimore City, doing the same thing from his perspective in the Baltimore City Council. Jackie Robarge, founder and director of Power Inside, a project of fusion partnerships whose organization is devoted to that. Her life is devoted to that. 410-319-8888. Let's get one caller in here and a final thought from our guest, and we'll move in to our next conversation. Iris in Waverly, you're on the air.
Hello, all. Hi, are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to respond to what Bruce said, because Bruce said that employers and other people in the community should have a right to know what somebody has done in their past. And a person's rap sheet of convictions is just what they've been caught for. I want to give an example. I know somebody who has been fired from, I think, more than five jobs for stealing from the register, but never been convicted of anything. They never called the cops on her. She's a cute little white girl, and they just fire her and tell her never to do that again, and she has other references she uses. I know tons of people who steal things and do drugs, do all kind of stuff that are illegal, and they don't get caught because there's racial profiling, because they are slick, because for whatever reason. So a rap sheet does not tell you what someone has done. They only tell you what that person has been caught for. And it's really like an arbitrary way of deciding a person's employment. So I'm really, really glad that this legislation is finally coming through in Maryland, and I really hope it does go all the way through.
Iris, thank you so much. So let me just say that we're here with, again, Senator Verna Jones, and I want to encourage everybody, the second biannual statewide community reentry symposium titled Maximizing Regional Connections will be held at the Miller Senate Office Building in the President's Conference Center, 11 Bladen Street in Annapolis, this coming Monday, March the 3rd, from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. And there's limited space, so you have to call Aviana Copper at 410-841-3612 or email verna.jones@senate.state.md.us. That will also be on our website. And tonight there is a hearing at the City Council on The ban the box.
Yes, the Judiciary Legislative Investigations hearing tonight on ban the box will be televised on Channel 25, but it's at 5 o'clock at City Hall. Ask everyone to come up and please testify and provide us any of your background or your stories as it relates to being discriminated. When you talk about ban the box, it's just about fair hiring practices to ensure that folks have a fighting chance to compete for jobs out there.
And Senator, before we turn to a quick final thought from Jackie, a very quick final thought on what you're about to do.
Yes. At the symposium, this is the second one, and it's really to bring all parties together to look at what the issues still are and to work on solutions. And then from there, you will have pieces of legislation that will be developed, as well as looking at how we can develop the policies that need to be in place. But we must come together. Right now, it's a lot of fragmentation around best practices around the state. So this is an opportunity for all that are interested in this area to come on March 3rd. And it's free of charge to everyone. It's March 3rd in Annapolis, 11 Bladen Road from 8:30 until 3.
And Mark, I just wanted to close with that good reentry starts in the community and starts with sustainable housing and employment and social and community supports that will ultimately increase public safety. So all of our goals are toward having a safer, more healthy community. And so supporting folks coming home from prison and supporting them so that they don't get locked up again really is where we all should be headed.
I'm going to thank the three of you for being here. Clearly, this is something we're going to keep coming on talking about pushing this thing and hearing the voices of the incarcerated themselves, which I think is a poignant and powerful way to do all of this. So Jackie Rabarge, Councilman Nick Mosby, Senator Vernon Jones-Rodwell, thank all three of you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
And for the work you're trying to do for our community. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. We take a very brief break. We're going to go out here with a little Blueberry Hill by Fats Domino, born on this day in 1928. Fats. And we'll be right back talking about Chakwe Lumumba, but also about this anniversary of the death of Trayvon Martin and everything that's happened around that since that time and before that time. And we're going to try to focus on what it is we can do, not just the lamenting. What is it we really can do to address this? Stay with us. We'll be right back.